Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news in the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it right here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We got a great show for you today. And if you want to call in, 323-870-3857. And let's get it started, man. Showtime, Jaron Boots Ennis versus Royman Villa. 12 rounds for Ennis's IBF interim welterweight title. Ennis wins via 10th round KO. I was really impressed with Ennis here. I thought that I thought he won just about every round. I don't think you could have really gave the other guy a round. But that other guy, he was there to fight. You could tell he was strong. You could tell he had a punch. But, man, Boots is just on a different level. He's just on a different level. And I'll tell you what, I guess right around the middle rounds, I was starting to question. I was like, man, Boots has got a lot of power. But this guy is taking a punch, man. He's not going anywhere. And when he was able to put him out in the 10th, man, it was like, man, he had to really work, because that guy was in there. He wasn't just there for a payday. You could tell he was trying to win. He was trying his best. But Boots just, man, he's just on another level, man. You kind of wonder, you like, where this guy is. I mean, I would give anything to see him fight Terrence Crawford or Errol Spence. And I'm glad those two are going to fight, because it does pave the way for guys like this to come in there, grab those fractured titles, because those titles will be fractured after that fight, I guarantee it. They come in there and they'll fight for those fractured titles. But Boots is a guy, it's just, to me, it's just a matter of time. I think he's ready for prime time right now. They've got to, you know, the opponents they give him, they've got to give him a top name now. He needs a couple of top names to get his name elevated out there. Because I know people know of him, but it just, you know, it's one of those things. I want to see him get his just due. He needs to fight some name guys, some top-rated guys, so that he can get his name out there. And that's the only problem that I see with Boots Ennis right now. That's it. I mean, as far as his boxing goes, I don't think you get any better, man. That guy is solid. He is definitely a champion. He's up there with Crawford. He's up there with Spence. I think he could I don't know that he could beat either one of those guys, but I don't know that they could beat him either. I think those are toss-up fights, man.
I'll say this. You made some great points. Can't really disagree with you entirely, but I'm going to kind of nitpick a little bit
there,
because
you.
that's what we kind of do. And I'm going to be hypocritical, because we went easy, a little bit easier on Anderson last week, but I'm going to kind of go in a different direction with this analysis this week, because Ennis is older. He's got many more fights than Anderson. And when you're at this level, being compared and being mentioned in the same breath as Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence, then we got to look at you with that same lens, you know, with that intensified magnifying glass, right?
Absolutely.
So, you know, I'm going to nitpick here, because I'm looking at Ennis, watching him last night, seeing what he's doing, and comparing him to Spence and Crawford. How would this type of version of Ennis do against Crawford and Spence? And obviously the opponent will be different, so the game plan will be different. But I'm looking at habits too, right? So sometimes you look at a game plan, and a fighter has a game plan, and he's going to apply those things in the fight. But also, if you watch a fighter long enough, you see habits. And one thing I didn't like with Ennis is when he got on the inside, and I think it was mentioned as well by his trainer in between rounds, Bozy, his dad, he stays in the center, right? And he doesn't create the punching angles for himself. And I thought he smothered his work a little bit on the inside. And another thing too is Villa would you know, he hit Villa with a good shot, and Villa would grab him, and he accepted the clinch. When you look at guys like Spence and Crawford, and Spence said this about Crawford, he said, this guy is mean, right? So Spence and Crawford don't accept the clinch. And, you know, Spence would know, you ask yourself, why does Spence say that about Crawford? Because it takes one to know one, because he's mean too, right? They don't accept the clinch on the inside, forcefully work their way out of the clinch. But getting back to the inside game, so you're on the inside, and you're squared, and you're in the center, right? And obviously you don't want to have your head center line for defensive reasons, but also we talk about this a lot, or at least I talk about this a lot. You're in the inside. You want to step off to the side, right? So you step off to your right, right? And your right shoulder is on the outside of your opponent's left shoulder. Why is that? Because, so you can position yourself to land the shot. You're creating the angle, and you're also getting your head off the center line, and you're also putting yourself in a position where you can get leverage on the shot and land it cleaner. By creating that, taking that step off to the side, and you're at an angle, right? You can rip that left hand to the body because you have that angle, and you have that leverage. You just turn it. So you're here, right? You slide off to the side, and while you're doing that, you're at an angle. You rip, and then you want to free up the right hand. You do a short pivot like this, and you got the other angle. Boom. And then you have leverage on that right hand to the body. And then after you land the right hand to the body, you're right in position. Boom, I can go up right up with the uppercut. You can't do any of those things if you're like this. Because if you're like this, you're squared. It's easy for your opponent to grab you because you're right there in front of them.
Right.
And you're tied up. And you're smothered, and you can't move your hands on the inside. So on the inside, no one does those things better than Spence that I just described. And Crawford can do those things as well, but Spence does them beautifully. He does them flawlessly, and he does them just instinctively, right? Now, the good thing Boots did do was he started going to the body, but he still wasn't creating those angles. So you ask yourself, you know, why was Villa able to stay in this fight as long as he did? Because he was getting beat up, and you could argue his corner should have pulled him out. I would argue that Ennis, because he didn't create those angles for himself, because he accepted the clinch, right, and he wasn't forcefully fighting his way out of that clinch, because he wasn't making those subtle moves on the inside by stepping out and putting that shoulder on the outside, that right shoulder on the outside of his opponent's left shoulder, and ripping that shot, bending the knees, boom, pivot, come up the other way, up like that. Because he wasn't able to position himself where he could move his hands fluidly on the inside and get that proper leverage, Villa was able to hang around longer than he probably would have against a Crawford or a Spence. So I'm going to be honest. This is a game of inches at this level.
Yeah.
And we look at the little things, right? We look at the little things. And I'm only nitpicking because the bar is so high at this level.
Right.
Now, he is good. He's not even good. He's very good. But you have to be exceptional if you're going to beat a Crawford or a Spence. All due respect, looking at what I saw yesterday, I saw very good. It didn't see exceptional.
That sounds
ridiculous, me saying that, because the guy won every round and he knocked him out. Right? But you were in there with the guy who was just solid. You're very good. He's solid. And to step up to exceptional, right, you have to be exceptional.
Yeah.
You can't just be very good. So to me, Boots has shown, because he's only had solid competition. He's never even had very good competition like himself. So you have the levels. You have, you know, a little bit below average. Then you got solid. Then you got good, very good, and you got exceptional, right? Boots is at very good right now. Those other two guys are at exceptional. And I don't think very good beats exceptional right now.
No.
Can he get to exceptional? Sure, because he's still 26. But these last couple fights, he's only shown me very good.
Why haven't they upped this competition? You know, this is a guy who's ready for prime time, who, let's seemingly ready for prime time. The prime time guys. And I'm not nothing against Roman Villa, nothing like that. But he has not fought any name guys, any bigger names. And take Crawford and Spence out of it. There's plenty of bigger names out there. There's plenty of better fights than Roman Villa. And I was surprised. I was actually surprised when they made this fight, because here's a guy who's on his way up. You know what I mean? Who's looking at Spence. They're looking at Crawford. And they're saying, yeah, this guy could challenge these two. He's that good. Why haven't they fed him better competition?
My opinion,
or
a couple
more name brand competition, I guess you should say.
My opinion, a couple reasons. We always talk about, you know, fighters in the PBC, and again, this isn't a knock. This is just reality. And I know, I kind of know what Boots makes a fight, because the reason why I figured it out is because I guess he was in a lawsuit, and they had a figure that he was suing for, and it was based upon his purses.
Yeah.
And to fight guys like Villa, he's making around $500,000 a fight. So he's incentivized to not really fight. And if he's fighting two times a year, he's making sometimes three times a year, he's making $1 million, $1.5 million to fight solid competition.
Yeah.
Where other fighters need to fight exceptional competition to fight to get those type of paydays.
Right.
So these PBC guys, and again, I'm just being realistic, and I've heard even Danny Garcia say this. Well, you know, we don't have to fight as much because we're making, you know, big purses, right? I heard him say it before.
Yeah, so, we've all heard it, yeah.
So here's the thing. If you're fighting on PBC cards, and I know he's not an Al Haymon fighter per se, but he fights on PBC cards, and he works within that company. So a lot of these guys are incentivized to not fight the best. That's number one. Number two, he's been so dynamic, looked so great. The sanctioning bodies have already thrust him at a high rank. Like, he's already ranked number one. And yeah. I think he's the interim title in the IBF. And this is no shade on him, but he's only fought solid guys. So they've accelerated him up the rankings and put him in a position now where he's ranked number one by the IBF, or not even ranked number one. He's their interim champion. So he's in a mandatory spot. So those two factors, the fact that he's incentivized in getting paid well to only fight solid competition, that's number one. And number two, he was ranked number one at the IBF and elevated to the interim champion now. So he's in a position where, why am I going to fight these higher risk guys like Stanionis? Right? Why am I? He called him out last night, but now there's no one left. So he's gonna have to probably fight him. Not have to fight him, but he's in a position where there's pressure for him to fight Stanionis now because there's no one else left. But prior to that, he was incentivized and he was accelerated up these rankings quick. So he was put in a very favorable position to not have to take risks, to not have to fight exceptional fighters, because he was getting compensated and treated very well to just fight solid guys.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, Eric, your boss calls you up and says, hey, you know what, we're going to cut your hours next week, but we're still going to pay you the same. Now, you can work more if you want to, right?
I ain't working.
Are you going to work more if you don't have to? Absolutely not.
No, absolutely not.
So, he's in it. He's in a position, and a lot of these PBC guys are in a position, and that's why a lot of people, you know, throw shade PBC's way, because these guys don't fight as often. They get paid substantially more than others to do less, right?
Yeah.
And the reason why, in my opinion, is Al Haymon has that managerial mentality as opposed to a promoter's mentality, where him being a manager and an advisor, he's looking to help the fighter get the most gain for the least risk. That's the mentality of an advisor and a manager. The promoter is looking to put on the best fights. So there's a different mentality here. And even though Haymon has a company and he needs to turn a profit, he's got so many fighters that he can slow roll them all and still make a profit. So
yeah,
it is what it is.
Let's see here. Jerry from Baltimore says, nonsense. And Ennis is a solid test for any welterweight. It's those who do not want to fight him. Low reward, high risk. I think that's kind of what we said, that he's a solid test for anyone. It's kind of an understatement. I think that I think he just kind of walked in a room and,
again,
you know, what we were talking about as usual.
Yeah. I mean, Jerry, I understand what you're saying, but there's a difference between solid tests, right?
Yep.
Because if you're going to beat an exceptional fighter, you got to bring more than just a solid test. You've got to be exceptional too. And I don't know, based off of what I've seen, right? You know, standing in the inside like that against a Spence who's going to slide off, rip the shots, do hard pivots. It's going to get a lot more sophisticated than what we saw against Villa, right? And I don't think you're going to get away with accepting the clinch like that on the inside, being smothered like that on the inside, and not creating punching angles for yourself, just standing stationary on the inside like that against the Spencer or Crawford. Just my opinion. Now, he could fight entirely different against those two guys, but what I have seen, though, is a pattern of behavior. I'm seeing habits. It's one thing having a different game plan. You could have a different game plan all you want, and you could watch tape all you want, right? But when trainers look at tape, they're not looking they're saying, oh, well, this guy may not fight the same way, but I'm looking for something he does repeatedly, habitual, habits. And a lot of fighters, all fighters to some degree, have habits, right? And that one bad habit he has on the inside is standing in the middle and not moving off to the side and creating angles for himself and accepting the clinch. Didn't like it.
Aquabutt said, Boots will style on Spence. I keep doubting this dude. He's special. His only question is his chin, but he took some hard shots and still kept pushing. I don't think we can really question his chin at all, man. I tell you what, he did take some hard shots last night. This guy was in there. He was throwing punches. I mean, Boots can take a shot. I think that was pretty evident, especially from last night, because he was walking right through that guy. Let me ask you this, Beeb. If you were the trainer, would you have pulled him out? Because I see a lot of people saying, well, this could have ended in the seventh round. It could have ended in the, you know, would you have pulled this guy out?
Without question.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Without. Yeah. You know me. I'm the compassionate one.
You're
the
compassionate
one.
I'm the hardcore guy. I know.
Daniel Dubois' eye was hanging out of his socket.
He's still going out there, son.
You wanted him
still out there.
So
we don't lay down, baby. Now, I would have, you know what, is the guy was fighting well. I thought the guy was fighting well. He was getting touched up, but he was fighting well. He was holding his own in there. It wasn't like, you know, I think he was holding his own for a little bit. I probably would have stopped the fight before the 10th round, but I would have let it go past the 7th for sure.
I got to correct some people in the chat because people are saying that wasn't a PBC show yesterday. It most certainly was a PBC show because Tom Brown promoted, was the lead promoter of that card. So PBC has a deal with Showtime. The fight was on Showtime. The fight was promoted by Tom Brown. I mean, we're just dealing in semantics there. I mean, the guy's fallen, you know, predominantly his whole career on PBC. He's fought his whole career on Showtime. I mean, PBC had an involvement in that card last night. I mean, it's just the reality of the situation. Whether he's on a fight-to-fight or whatever his situation is, he works and has been working with PBC for his last 6 or 7 fights at least. So that was a PBC show last night because Tom Brown was the promoter and Tom Brown works with Al Heyman. Yeah, doesn't work with anyone else. So it is what it is.
There you go. There you go. All right. Let's talk about the undercard here. Let's see here. Yoelvis Gomez was the favorite coming in here against Marquise Taylor. They were really touting this guy, knockout artist, everything like that, and he got beat yesterday. Marquise Taylor upsets Yoelvis Gomez. Was a unanimous decision. Taylor just outboxed him from the start man. You got the sense that Gomez was just looking for the KO here, and it was Gomez who got caught early and put on the deck. It just looked like Taylor was just a step quicker. He was just a lot better boxer than that guy. And, I mean, when you see stuff like this, you know, it's funny because I watch matches like this where you're watching one guy who's the hype fighter and the other guy, they put him in there against a guy who can fight. This guy could fight last night. That guy was a very good boxer, man. He really was. You know,
yeah.
So I think he underestimated him quite a bit, and I think, quite honestly, his management underestimated him overestimated him quite a bit.
Sure.
So, Edwin De Los Santos versus Joseph Adorno, 10 rounds lightweights. De Los Santos wins a unanimous decision. Nothing really there in that fight anyway. So, there you go. Let's move over to DAZN. So, this week, Virgil Ortiz and Montes Stanois was canceled. Virgil Ortiz pulled out of the fight. I'll tell you what, and I already saw somebody say it was like the Ferguson Khabib in the UFC. This fight is just cursed. Just go ahead and move on from it. This fight ain't happening. The interesting thing, man, is, you know, when we read about Virgil Ortiz pulling out of this fight, the interesting thing of the article that you read this in, every article that I saw didn't mention anything about a hurt hand or an injury or anything like that. It just says the doctors would not let him fight. Okay. Now, listen, it's just speculation on my part. I don't know. I don't know why he pulled out of the fight. My guess is that he was overweight. And that's really, I mean, when you don't have an injury, just based on, you know, our experience here, when you don't have an injury, nothing to speak of, all right? Well, Ryan Hong is saying he sounds like he has an autoimmune disease. I don't know, and I don't know that, you know, again, we didn't get any explanation. So in my opinion, just my opinion, I don't know what happened. Maybe Ryan does. I don't know. But typically when it's that, it points to a weight issue. I know they were talking about him, there were weight issues before this, so maybe he cut too much weight and ends up messing with your kidneys and you got to go to the hospital or whatever, but the doctors would not let him continue. But nobody really came out and said, at least I didn't see it. Beeb, did you see why he was ousted
yes.
from this? Go ahead.
Yes. He actually passed out and had to be resuscitated in his gym. And, again,
so what
I'm going to –
That's a weight issue, son.
Well, the weight issue is exasperating something that, in my opinion, is an even bigger issue. I think he's got some sort of autoimmune condition, and I know he's had some bouts with rhabdomyolysis, and what that is when you're, you know, training or the you have the breakdown of tissue through training. What's happening is protein and electrolytes are being released from the tissue into the blood, and you're having an issue with your kidneys filtrating that out, right? So that stuff should never, like, so if you have, like, kidney issues or you're having pain in your abdominal and you think you have, like, a urinary tract infection or whatever, they give you these tests, and one of the tests is they test your urine to see if there's any protein in your blood, any glucose or any issues with your kidneys not filtrating all that stuff out properly. And again, this is my opinion, but I think it's something to look at, right? So if this happened twice, he's had two bouts with this, right? So you have to ask yourself, is this a predisposed condition that he has? Because fighters kill themselves to make weight. A lot.
Yep.
And he's not the only guy to have issues. But this thing is twofold there. So even if this was brought on through overtraining, right? And he's done this throughout his career.
Yeah.
Right? When you have this disorder, because it's a very rare disorder. Now, only 26,000 reported incidents of this condition.
What is the condition?
It's called rhabdomyolysis. And it could be sometimes it's considered just a blood disorder, or it could be brought on through intense, rigorous physical training, right? But once again, you know, you have fighters who do this, like they kill themselves, like Spence, all these guys walk around heavy and they kill themselves to make weight. And we know they're damaging their body to some degree or putting stress on their body to some degree. But if you're putting your body through this and this condition keeps coming up as a result of it, to me, it could be some underlying issue that you're predisposed to. So this may be an issue that he has that, you know, it's just whether it be a genetic predisposition or just luck of the draw type issue that this is something that he has, right? So if this is happening constantly, will a move up in weight really, really correct this? Because you, because you're always going to be putting yourself under physical stress like that. And if you're breaking down the tissue, and as a result of breaking down the tissue, your body still has that protein and those electrolytes leaking into the bloodstream, and your kidneys have not, are not able to properly filtrate that stuff out, right? And by doing, by continuously training hard like this, putting your body through this type of rigorous training, it's quite possible that he's already damaged the organs to a degree where they may never be 100% again. So you have to ask yourself, were they diligent enough in addressing this issue prior, right? His team, his dad, because his dad has a reputation of really pushing him hard and, you know, putting him under a lot of pressure. His dad is sort of like Tio's dad in that regard. Tio's dad sent him out there admittedly knowing he was compromised in that Kambosos fight. And this is why Tim Bradley's right when he says that these father-son trainer relationships don't always work, because fathers hold their sons to a higher standard than most people do, right? I remember growing up, you hear your dad say, "Oh, well, you better do this, you better do that, or you're not, or don't come home, or whatever. You know, you better do this, or you're not my." You know what I'm saying? That father-son dynamic. I'm not saying they're all like that, but a lot of fathers are very hard on their sons. So him being so hard on his son, was he really keeping a close eye on this? Was he being tested? Was he getting regular blood work done? Or does it always have to come to the point where he has to pass out and be resuscitated, right? Where you find out that there's something wrong. There had to have been some telltale signs in this camp, right, that something was off. Why did it have to get to the point where he had to pass out and need to be resuscitated for them to do something? So what it tells me is I have a hard time believing there weren't some type of, telltale signs throughout this camp that there was something wrong here. And I have to question, were they ignored? Sort of like how they were ignored in the Teofimo Lopez fight going into that right. fight with Kambosos, right?
Right.
Was there some negligence here on the team? And, you know, more specifically the dad. Because his dad,
I don't like fathers as trainers. I just don't like it.
And let's take it a step further, Eric. Because as children growing up, we depend on our dads to support us financially. But now the dynamic has come full circle in a lot of these situations with these father-son relationships, right? Because now the dad works for the son because the son's making the money now. So now the father, as shitty as it sounds, is dependent on the son for an income.
Sure.
How does that impact the situation, if at all? I think it does creep in a little bit. Like, for instance, with the Tio, and I want to keep going back to the Tio situation, but Tio supports his family. So they had to postpone that fight a couple times, right, with Kambosos. Very similar to this. So they're saying to themselves, you know, we haven't had a paycheck in a while, right? Does that affect the decision-making, not only for the son, but for the father, too?
Yeah.
The father is depending on that pay, too.
I absolutely believe that. I absolutely believe that.
So this condition, whether this is just a luck of the draw thing or this is a genetic thing or is this just predisposed, I'm not so sure this is just brought on because this guy was fighting in a weight class too long and this was brought on just by the training itself. This could be an underlying condition, and maybe there's something they're not telling us. Maybe there's something that they're not researching enough. They're not getting the proper blood work done regularly to see if this is an underlying condition, because some people just have renal issues. Some people just have these kidney disorders, right? Some people just have these disorders and, you know, they go unchecked, unnoticed, or even just downplayed to the degree where, like sometimes you don't want to know. Let's just work through this. No, you can't work through something like this. So to me, I'm highly speculative that this is more than just an issue of weight, hard weight cuts, because many fighters have had hard weight cuts, cramped up, whatever, but this has been a consistent thing. This is the third time this has happened with this condition. even if this was brought on by hard training, has irreparable damage been done to the internal organs of this young man as a result of this condition?
Well, let me read this. Let me read what I have here about rhabdomyolysis. Give me 1 second here. This is from the Cleveland Clinic, the best clinic on the planet. Rhabdomyolysis, is a condition that causes your muscles to break down, disintegrate, which leads to muscle death. When this happens, toxic components of your muscle fibers enter your circulation system and kidneys. This can cause kidney damage. The dangerous muscle condition can result from overexertion, trauma, medications, or underlying health conditions. Common signs and symptoms are weak muscles, muscle stiffness, muscle pain, and change in your pee color. Now, let me run down here. Symptoms, signs and symptoms of rhabdomyolysis: muscle swelling, weak muscles, tender or sore muscles, urine that's brown, red, or tea-colored. Some people also experience dehydration, decreased urination, nausea, loss of consciousness. Now, listen, all of those sound like weight-cutting things. Now, listen, whether this was brought on by that, because when you're weight-cutting, of course, you're going to have to dehydrate yourself, you know, all that other stuff, the exertion, all that other stuff. What causes rhabdomyolysis? Injury or trauma?
Underlying condition.
Correct.
Yep.
High-intensity exercise, severe dehydration and overheating, medications, long periods of inactivity, certain medical conditions. So, I mean, all this looks to me, if he's got this, if this is what he has, if this is the condition he has, I'm not sure this is the safest sport for you anyway. Listen, this is not a safe sport, period. But it's certainly not a safe sport for somebody with that condition.
Let me ask you this. De La Hoya irresponsibly tweeted out, and this is my opinion, people don't have to agree with this, he'll be fine with a move up to 154. But will that solve the problem?
Yeah, I don't know that it does.
If it is, and again, I suspect, and this is just my opinion, I'm not a doctor, but I suspect that this could be an underlying condition, and it has been exacerbated, made worse by the training.
Yeah.
Now that's just an opinion. That's a possibility. I'm not saying I'm right here. This is just what I suspect. Because if this is continuously happening, right? And let me just say this. All those symptoms that you mentioned there, he had to have been experiencing them throughout these camps. And the worst part, you don't know
if it's part of the weight cut. You don't know if it's part of your training. You have no idea. You just assume, yeah. Hey, I'm tired because I just worked out. I'm tired because I just went in there and boxed 12 rounds.
You're right.
I'm tired because of training. I'm cutting weight. So, of course, this is going to be happy. I'm going to get these, you know what I mean? So you have no idea.
But here's the problem, Eric. If this has happened 3 camps in a row,
why nobody saw
someone?
This?
Someone. Well, again, did they see it and ignore it?
That's
what
happened.
Did they downplay it? I'm sorry, I suspect that was the case, because once again, for them to cancel this fight, he had to pass out and be resuscitated. You know when something's wrong.
Wrong. I tell you what,
that's the problem.
You got to get it checked out. Period. End of story, you know?
And then your promoter is just downplaying the whole thing, saying that
he's an idiot.
Move up to 154 is going
right.
to correct.
Oh, yeah. Just go up away. That's fine.
He may never box again, Eric.
If that's his condition.
He may never box again.
If he's
diagnosed.
Yeah, you're right. And you're 100% right. If he's been diagnosed with that condition, yeah, I would really rethink your career choices here.
And another thing about the condition as well, damage as a result of that condition is irreparable.
Kidney damage, yeah. You don't – it's not like you can really turn back kidney damage, you know?
No.
That's not really something you play around with.
It's like this. If you smoke for 20 years and you've done damage to your lungs, right? and you stop smoking, yeah, you're mitigating the damage, right? But the damage is there. It's you can say it may not get worse. You're the most he can do possibly is just stabilize himself where he is right now, right? The worst he can do is make it substantially worse and damaging.
Yeah, listen,
so you got to make a decision.
I'm not a doctor, but it all sounded pretty serious to me. You know, I mean, that whole thing sounds pretty serious. And, you know, again, man, if he's got that complication, if this is something he has, I would really consider, man, because, again, your body's going to be put through stress no matter what training, what weight, whatever. I would really consider, if I'm his people, I sit this guy down and I have a sit down with his promoter and everybody else and say, man, listen, if you want to go forward, that's your choice. I'm not going to be part of it, but I really think you should listen to the doctors on this one, you know? And I don't know what the doctors are saying. I'm assuming they would say, you know, this is probably not the best sport for you right now.
Do you want to continue to damage your kidneys to the point where when you're in your 40s, that you're going to be on dialysis?
Yeah.
You know, you can push yourself to renal failure. I mean, this is no joke here, bro.
Not worth it.
And I think there's been a high degree of neglect here, right?
For sure.
In my opinion.
For sure. You know, and, you know, I tell you what, you look at some of those symptoms, right? How are you going to, you know, and if you're, you know, you're looking at those symptoms, you know, dehydration, decreased urination, nausea, loss of consciousness, you know, all those, weight cutting, you know, weight cutting 101, you know, your mind just goes right there. And every fight he has, he's going to have to cut weight. He doesn't walk around at 154. You're going to have to cut down to 154. You know, it's just not really – listen, man, I mean, anybody's free to do what they want, but it's just to me, if this is the condition you have, I'd be real curious to see what a doctor advised fighting with that condition. And it doesn't sound like it's a condition, you know, it sounds like you live with this. It doesn't sound like it can really go away. It
doesn't go away, I don't think.
Yeah, early diagnosis, it's essential to your recovery. Many people recover after rhabdomyolysis treatment. Most people have a lingering muscle weakness for a few weeks after the injury. In up to 50% of cases, people experience acute kidney injury. Yeah, I mean, you live with it, you know.
So that's the thing, Eric. There's a 50% chance that he has suffered from permanent kidney damage as a result.
And that's no joke, man. That is no joke.
So I don't care, man. If that's my son and I love him and I want him to live a long time and I want him to have a high quality of life, I'm thinking about, you know, having him never box again if that's my son.
Yeah, there's no.
That's a strong consideration.
I'm sure you saved a little bit of money. Go to school, you know, finish it out. Go get a degree and go do your thing, man. Go.
He wants to be a multimillionaire, and have to go through dialysis for the rest of your life.
The only advantage of that is what, you're gonna have a dialysis machine at your house. I mean, instead of having to go get it. I mean, really, like, there's no advantage to that.
Yeah. Well, you need that. You need to have a medical professional do that. But that's
yeah. It's not. Yeah. It's not just, you know, you walk in somewhere. It's I'm sure it's pretty in depth.
You know, when I used to work for these healthcare facilities when I was a food service manager, you know, I would see people come in 45 years old, you know, with damaged kidneys, who whether it be just through the luck of the draw or just because you know they were heavy alcoholics or drug users or whatever. And, you know, the quality of life is like, these guys got to get dialysis twice a week. They have to be on special diets. They got to watch their potassium and sodium intake.
You're in there for like a few hours. It's not even like you go in there 10 minutes later, you're out. It's like, I mean, you're there for a bit, man.
That's crazy shit right there.
Yeah.
So I'm not sensationalizing this. This is real shit.
Yeah. Crazy, man. Crazy. You know, and here's the other thing. Like I said, man, if you're De La Hoya, if you know your guy has this, you know, this is a liability for you. Am I wrong about this? This is a clear liability for Oscar. Like, why don't you get your head in the game here, man?
The whole team, and again,
they suck. They are terrible even, over there.
I'm heavily critical of the dad, bro. That's your son, bro. That is your son. You know? That is your son. For you to just look at this guy as a commodity, that's your son, man. So
that's how it is. That's why I don't like family. I don't like family coach, family corner people. I really don't.
Yeah. It's pretty sad, bro.
I think it's okay if you're a chief second or a second or somebody in the corner, but your main guy should not be related. It just,
Bradley was smart because he would let his dad work with him, but his dad was never his head trainer ever.
Yeah. That's the way to do it, man. That really ever. Is. Tell me, okay, so that was on DAZN and for the Floyd Schofield and Haskell Rhodes, then became the main event for that Stellar DAZN card over there, and Schofield won every single round. He's a prospect up and coming. You know, we talked about this before we came on here. The more money DAZN charges, the lousier these cards get.
Yeah,
they've got a doozy coming up next week too.
And this was a good fight, Stanionis versus Virgil Ortiz. But think about it. This was one out of so many that were just not great cards, right?
Yeah.
So if you think about it, for what we're paying, and then we got to pay pay-per-view. So I don't know what's going to happen now that they don't have Canelo anymore. Are they gonna make us pay pay-per-view for these AJ fights? When AJ fights Dillian White, is that going to be free, or are they going to charge us pay-per-view for that? What are they going to do with that?
It's pay-per-view in England. I just read this. It's actually pay-per-view, £26 in England, in London. Here it's going to be free in the rest of the world, but over there they're going to have to pay, which I think is complete nonsense. But I think it's nonsense that fights on pay-per-view anyway in England or anywhere else. Stephen Pryor in the house. Thank you, my friend.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Obviously, neither one of us are huge fans of pay-per-views. You hate pay-per-view.
I hate them.
Much more than I do.
Absolutely.
I have that condition.
You got a medical condition. That's different.
Yeah. I got a medical condition, so I hope people empathize with me. But you're not as angry that you're having to pay for Canelo versus Jermell Charlo as opposed to having to pay for Canelo versus John Ryder. Because John Wright, so we.
I don't know the outcome of the Canelo Charlo fight. I don't know the outcome. I think it's a good fight. I think I know the outcome. The Canelo Ryder fight was anybody. I mean, it wasn't like anybody was sitting around wondering about that outcome. Nobody was sitting around thinking John Ryder's got a shot here. Yeah. Well, give me a break.
So the fact that was a pay per view for us, I don't know, man. I don't think it should.
No.
Should have been.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Clarissa said B pays for pay-per-views and leaves a tip. He only leaves a tip at the massage parlors. You know, that's it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The insurance pays for the massages, so gotta leave him a little bit of a tip, man. You know what I'm saying?
I'll tell you what, I got to get your kind of insurance, I tell you that.
Beeb Industries, man.
Beeb Industries. Before we go to the upcoming fights and the phones and everything like that, tell me about this. I recorded it last night because it was the first one that caught my interest in a while. I know when HBO used to do like the all access and the previews before the fights. When I was younger, I used to watch them, but then I just kind of got out of it because they were all kind of corny. You know, they were all kind of a little bit corny for me. I did record the one last night with Spence and Crawford. And I didn't get to watch it, but B, you saw it. What did you think of it?
A lot of people were raving about it because, to me, I think the more they do these all accesses, the better and better they get. Yeah. You know, they show more things. They show a lot of the training. They show a lot of the behind the scenes. And we talked about how good 24/7 was, HBO's 24/7.
That's what it was. Yeah.
And I think. Showtime has really done just as good of a job, as they've moved forward in promoting boxing and doing boxing. And people criticize Showtime and PBC a lot because again, they make us wait for these big fights that we want. Everything's a pay-per-view. But when they do something right, I got to give them credit. Whenever there's a fight of this magnitude, like Spence Crawford, Garcia Davis, you know, I'm sure Canelo Charlo is going to be no exception. For me, no one does the big time premium fights better than Showtime.
Yeah.
And when you look at these all access shows, it just speaks to that, in my opinion. These guys do a great job at promoting these big marquee events. And there's a reason why 7 of the 10 highest grossing fights in the history of the sport have been on Showtime.
Yeah.
And then most recently, one of them is Garcia versus Davis, which did like $105 million, the fight. It was a $105 million fight. That fight's already in the record books as well, right? So you can say what you want about Showtime. You can say what you want about Steven Espinosa. You can say what you want about PBC. But like I said before, these big-time premium pay-per-view fights, no one, in my opinion, does it better than Showtime. And I think the data supports what I'm saying. It really does.
There you go.
So,
If you guys like what we're doing, give us a thumbs up. Give us a like in the comments and everything like that. Give us some good comments. Give us some good feedback. Give us some likes. Again, we're not out here with a tin cup. Not asking you to work in a coal mine. Just hit the like button. Real simple. Just click and it's done. Then you're done. And you ain't got to worry about it anymore.
Not asking you to drop off that laundry. I mean, come on.
Be nice. It would be nice. Don't get me wrong. It would be nice. It would be a nice thing. A fight that took place last night that I didn't mention, Luis Neri versus Froilan the Saludar. Luis Neri won by knockout. It was like second round knockout. It was a complete blowout fight. So let's talk about this. July 15th in Las Vegas on Showtime. Nonito Donaire versus Alexandro Santiago, 12 rounds for the WBC vacant bantamweight title. Frank Martin versus Artem Harutunyan, 12 rounds lightweights. And Elvis Rodriguez versus Victor Postol, 10 rounds junior welterweights. Postol's still around?
Yeah, he's still around.
Jesus. My. And then stellar card on DAZN here. This is what you guys pay for. I don't pay for it anymore. This is what you guys pay for. On DAZN next week from lovely Detroit, Michigan, my old stomping grounds. Alicia Baumgartner versus Christina Leonardo too. Who cares?
Leonardo too. Yeah.
Who cares? Babe, really? I mean, I'm surprised you even remember her name. For what? For what? You're never going to hear from her after this fight again.
Well, she's kind of pretty, so
you're not going to hear from either one of them after this fight again.
Well, they're both very attractive women, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Baumgartner's all right. They're no Ebony Bridges, don't get me wrong. But stop.
Show some respect.
I did. Montana Love, the saving grace for that card, because Montana Love is from Titletown, and he's only involved in big fights. He's going to face the durable Richard Hitchens, 10 rounds, junior welterweights. And that's it. That's the card for DAZN. That's what we pay for. Beautiful. Beautiful stuff right there. The week after that, in Shawnee, Oklahoma, George Kambosos versus Maxie Hughes. Keyshawn Davis also on that undercard. And then that whole week, man, next week is unbelievable, man. You got the July 22nd, Kambosos is fighting the 22nd. Fulton and Inoue fighting in Tokyo the 25th. And then you got the 29th, Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford. It's crazy,
what a month.
Right?
What a month.
That last week. Is that last 7 days, boy, is insane.
Yes, it is.
Just insane, man.
It most certainly is.
All right. Let's go to 267. 267, you're live.
What's up, Drew? Guys?
Hey, what's
How
going
you doing?
On?
What's going on, buddy?
Nothing much. I'm going to say this about Boots. Boots is legit. The thing about it is he's not signed with Ahimi. He's signed with Showtime. So he's going to be on PBC cards. But the main reason why he has not fought top position at welterweight yet is because Heyman don't want to feed his guys to him. Like, why am I going to feed a guy that that's not even signing me my guys. Like Keith Thurman. He's been wanting to fight Keith Thurman. Not going to fight him. Like Terrence Crawford and, you know, and Errol Spence, that's going to be, those two are going to move up eventually. So he's going to actually be elevated to fourth champion when that happens. And to the Virgil Ortiz thing, Virgil Ortiz needs to retire. He, like, this is the third time he's put out of a fight. And what are we going to do, wait until he pulls out of a 154-pound fight and they have to switch the cards up again and for his own, you know, paying money for this, for the fights, to be paying for another bad card and everything at the end of the day? No, he just needs to retire. He needs to fix himself up. He needs to do what he can to live a long life, because what's to say if he tries to continue, he doesn't live past 40 with this condition. So, like, I also see some, like, that he needs to retire, because this is the same, it's the same excuse every time he's pulled out. So the Stanionis fight, I don't see happening. Welterweight division turned into a shit show in the last 5 years. And it's going to continue being a shit show after Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence move up. Because it was a fight that should have happened a couple of years ago. Now it's finally happened. That's what's good about it. But it was a fight that should have happened a couple of years ago. And that's why the division is a shit show as it is. But
do you think Boots fights Stanionis, Drew? Do you think Boots will fight Stanionis?
I think he would.
I said, do you think Boots will fight Stanionis? I think he would, too.
I think he would fight Stanionis. I really think it's a great fight. I think this is your future of the welterweight division and everything. But I really think there's no money to be made in the welterweight division on top of Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford. I think Boots is going to eventually move up within a couple, like five fights. I think he's going to move up to 154. Because he's going
to throw you a curveball. Let me throw you a curveball here. Do you think the winner of Spence, do you think Spence and Crawford, if they do rematch, which they probably most certainly will, likely will, I should say, do you think that ends up being at 154 and they just vacate these titles, whoever is the undisputed? Do you think they just rematch at 154? Because both guys have said they want to go up to 154. Both guys have kind of complained about sanctioning fees. Do you think they just vacate, whoever wins the fight just vacates the titles and they just go up to 154 and they rematch at 154? You think that's a possibility?
Oh, I've been said the rematch would be at 154. I don't think this – I think you get one fight at 147 and then I think you get the rematch at 154 because Evil got – both guys are going to look at it like this. There's nothing more to accomplish at 147. Like, especially for the winner. I became undisputed at 147. I faced the best guy at the division, and I beat the best guy in the division. There's nothing more for me to do. What am I going to do? Roll myself to fight Boots, Virgil, Stanionis? No, I'm going to move up, attempt to get a bigger fight, and even though I was looking at it that the winner will possibly face Jermell Charlo, which I don't think that's happening now because he's moving up to face Canelo Alvarez, and is going to be not holding them for future paydays because you still got Danny Garcia in that division, which will be a good fight for either one of those guys to do. Alex Spence already fought Danny Garcia. Terrence Crawford and a Danny Garcia fight will be a good fight. Would be a doable fight for everybody to watch. But I look at it like this. I like how Jermell Charlo did move up for the payday, but I did say that the Canelo fight is a cherry pick because the power that Jermell had at 154 is not coming up to 168. People can say, oh, they're close to the same height and everything, but here's the thing. Canelo fought a super middleweight for an extension amount of time now. He's fought at 175 for an extended amount of time now. Jermell Charlo hasn't fought at even middleweight yet. And there was fights at 168 Canelo could have explored. And now we have a PBC contract looming. There's rumors that we may not have a David Benavidez fight on that contract. Now, I ask people this. If he does not fight David Benavidez on that card, on that contract, do we consider that a duck? Not me. I'll tell you this right now.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem, Drew. We have to ask ourselves, does Benavidez's team really want that fight? Because, you know, they haven't really shown. They talk a good game, but if you really want to fight, aren't you going to push hard for it? Are you going to just say there's some type of offer out there and then pull it off the table in 7 days if you really want to fight? So I don't know. I think both sides are trying to delay this and marinate it, if you will, to try to maximize the revenue. I think they're trying to build up both guys. Like Canelo is going to get reintroduced to the American pay-per-view market by having this fight with Jermell and probably even Jamal next. And I think the crescendo, the cherry on top, is going to be the bet. I think the Benavidez fight is probably going to be the third fight, in my opinion. That's what I think. I think this is by design how both sides are delaying it.
Like, I hope it is, because I get on Benavidez too. And people say, oh, you just beat a Canelo here. No, I get on Benavidez too, because I'll tell you this right now. If he was to fight Jaime Munguia, I would call that a cherry pick, because I think he bulldozed past Jaime Munguia. I don't think Jaime Munguia is really that skilled of a fighter, to be honest with you. And if you look at it like this, the Manuel fight, I think those two still fight each other, because they both hold interim titles, or you could call his Manuel side of the Reggie title. So that makes them both mandatory to Canelo Alvarez. The winner of that should become mandatory in two sectioning bodies, which makes it more reasonable for Canelo to fight that person. But I don't think that Benavidez can't watch the Manuel fight, because they don't think he can beat Manuel. Like, people will say, oh, he only had 9 professional fights. But look at it like this. He got fast-tracked it. He fought guys that were ranked in these sanctioning bodies, and he's ran through them. If guys want to look at it, the dude has an exceptional amateur record. That's why he got fast-tracked it. He was 130-2 in the amateurs. That's the main reason why he got fast-tracked it. And people don't like the matchup with Benavidez versus Manuel, because Manuel can box his ass off, and that's why you're never going to see a Manuel versus Benavidez fight. For that, you're probably going to see Benavidez fight another couple of cherry picks until the Canelo fight comes, if it comes. But yeah. I just think Canelo should have fought another super middleweight in this thing, or fought someone that was on PBC that was middleweight or something. I didn't mind the Charlo fight at that middleweight, that came up for middleweight, because he moved up one weight class. But people keep bringing it up to me, oh, but B-Hop did it. But here's the thing. Antonio Tarver tried to cherry-pick Bernard Hopkins, and it failed miserably because Bernard Hopkins dominated Antonio Tarver. And the thing about it is, Bernard Hopkins was way big for 160 and everything. And I think people need to stop trying to bring excuses up to me all the time. But Bernard tried to cherry-pick. How did he try to cherry pick when he moved up through weight classes? I think people need to get their acts straight about that. And then these are the same
people. Philly's riding hard for the Philly fighters, man.
Look at him.
He's riding hard for the Philly fighters, man. You got to respect him.
All right, Drew. Hey, Drew. We're gonna get running. Okay, man. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go ahead here to 530. Then we got Baltimore coming up. 530. You're live.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Robbie, what's up?
Matty, you didn't set the alarm clock. You're supposed to be the first caller every week. You don't set the alarm clock this week. What happened?
Did
you have an extra helping of those waffles this morning? What's going on?
Eric forgot to tell me you were going on early this week, so if you want to blame anybody, blame Eric.
It's always somebody else's
You got
problem.
The robo-text that we sent out.
It's always somebody else's problem, Babe. You know, I mean, it's always somebody
human
else's
resources,
problem.
Human resources sent out all the texts and emails. I don't want to hear it.
Okay.
We have good people working over here. Don't try to diminish what
we
do.
Let's get on to the fights here, guys. First of all, Virgil Ortiz, if you want to live a long life, find another career.
Wow.
And whatever you do, get the hell away from Oscar De La Hoya. He's going to kill you if you continue to work with him, plain and simple. Because he obviously doesn't care about his fighters.
That's a little dark.
It got dark quick.
He allowed. Has anybody heard anything from Gilberto Ramirez since he failed to make weight against Gabe Rosado? No.
No.
Jaime Munguia is about all he's got left now, because Virgil Ortiz will never fight again. Not with look. I've known people with kidney disease. Okay, I've known people that have died in their 40s because of kidney disease. This is no fucking joke, people. I've done a lot of reading on this stuff, and you can't fight with this. There's no way. The first cancellation should have been a retirement announcement once you discovered that you had this medical condition. If people don't believe me, go do your research and read about this stuff. This will kill you.
How much do you know about rhabdomyolysis?
Look, I've known people that have died because of diseases like this.
Right. This isn't really a kidney disease. It can affect your kidneys, but it's not a kidney disease per se.
No, but one of the main things when this disease is discovered, Eric, is one of the main organs it'll damage first is your kidneys.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So,
right.
Unfortunately. Look, he's a great fighter, and he had a bright future, but medical things don't lie. They don't go away. Not something like this is something you had to be born with, I think.
Possible underlying, yeah.
I mean, I look at it this
Robbie,
way.
Robbie, the reason why I suspect it's underlying is it's happened 3 times in a row.
Exactly.
So, but go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
As being somebody that was born with 2 disabilities in my life, both of mine were caused at birth. I mean, sometimes things are not discovered until you're later in your life. And he's lucky that he's only like 25 or 26 years old, and they've discovered this problem, and it can be dealt with. But in order for you to deal with it properly, you need to find another career. I mean, you can play sports, but you can't play boxing. If you don't take care of yourself properly, boxing will kill you one way or another. You'll either die in the ring because somebody put you in the condition where you're going to die in the ring, or you're going to die before you get in the ring. And this is one of those situations. Great career, but
Robbie, why are you going to be so dark this today? Like, this is horrible Sunday.
I'm trying to look.
You have to make it sound so glum. Can you at least try to be a little?
On the bright side,
be a little tactful. Can you at least be a little tactful with the delivery?
Bedside manner, at
no.
You have no bedside manner. Like, I don't want to ever have you visit me at the hospital. When something's wrong with me, because you'll be standing there going, handing me the flowers, but in the same token, after handing me the flowers, you could be dead in 3 weeks. I don't want to hear this stuff. Present it a little better than you're presenting it. This is all
seriously. Everybody's wrong.
Okay.
Everybody's
all
depressed.
Right. Well,
everybody's completely depressed
people
now.
People are just getting out of church right now.
Jesus.
At this time, and they got to hear this.
And then they
got to
hear
this.
Getting
out of church.
They're on high like cloud 9 from coming out of church, and then they got to listen to this diatribe.
Oh, okay.
It's supposed to be fun here.
Okay, I'll move on to something else.
Show some empathy here, Robert. Show some empathy, please.
Interestingly enough, before you
move
on, Robert, listen, don't move on yet. Just relax.
Okay, all right.
See what I'm doing here, Joe? I asked AI because I'm an advanced guy. I went to AI and asked them. I went to bard.google.com. That's Google's AI. Can you box with rhabdomyolysis? First sentence. No, you should not box with rhabdomyolysis. It's a serious condition that could cause kidney damage and other health problems. Boxing is a physically demanding sport that can put a lot of stress on the muscles. If you have rhabdomyolysis, boxing could further damage your muscles and worsen your condition. Wow. All right. Well, that's straight from AI.
Why did you have to fact check Robert? Robert
that's
knows
straight from
these
AI.
Things.
Straight from
why,
AI.
Why would you have to fact check Robert? Robert is a top-notch analyst when he calls into this show, and you have
sure.
to fact check Robert. What yes. an insult. I know he got fired. He got fired from the show not because of his lack of knowledge, because a lot of the things he did behind the scenes.
What is wrong with you? What is
he did a lot of things behind the scenes that
you?
HR did not agree with. That's why he's gone.
What
but
is,
one thing
why
that
you got to put his laundry in the street. You just got to throw his laundry right
the
out there in the street.
Every time Human Resource did a performance review on him, knowledge was never given a negative review. It was always his extracurricular activity outside.
Knowledge?
Of course, we do competency tests here. You don't think you just walk in the door?
I wonder how you got here, you know.
Okay,
I scored an 85 on the ASVAB. What are you talking about?
The ASVAB?
Okay, can I move on to something else now,
go
please?
Ahead, the ASVAB.
Okay, let's move on to Boots Ennis. Now, Philly Drew may be onto something here. Now, I know he's not officially signed with PBC, but he always shows up on Showtime cards.
Yeah.
You think if Boots officially signed with PBC, he would get some of these fights that he's been asking for, like Keith Thurman and some of these other people? You think that's one of the
nope.
reasons why Al Haymon and others at Showtime
nope.
are not putting him in with certain guys?
Well, let me answer a question with a question, which I don't like to normally do. Why didn't Keith Thurman ever fight Errol Spence then? Why didn't Keith Thurman ever fight Pauly Malignaggi? Right?
Yeah.
Why didn't Keith Thurman?
Good point.
You know.
Good point.
Why didn't Keith Thurman
think,
fight Boots Ennis?
Yeah, I think Boots is a hot commodity. And they're sitting on a gold mine here, and, you know, he even said last night after the fight, look, I want to stay active. I'll fight anybody. Okay, Stephen Espinoza, Al Haymon, and other people in charge there at Showtime, you do a wonderful job, promoting your fighters. I mean, hell, that All Access last night was top-notch. Good stuff. I'm looking forward to this fight even more than I already was. Let's take advantage of what you got. Let's give him Keith Thurman. Let's give him Stanionis. Let's keep him busy until these two guys either move up or you have to fight one of them after they have their two fights. And I agree with you, Beeb. I think they're going to have one fight at 147, and the second fight will be 154. And all these titles have become available, and Boots can become the top guy at welterweight, which I think he eventually will anyway.
There you go. Yeah, let's see here. Yeah, thank you, Maestro. He said that the Love Hutchins fight for next week on DAZN on that Detroit card has been canceled. It's off. Apparently Love got injured. I tell you, man, that even makes the card even worse.
Well,
DAZN cards are just
awful.
And, well,
they just have
and
no
don't
luck,
forget,
right?
Don't forget, you didn't mention next week there's also a card from the UK on DAZN. So,
Who's on that card,
Robert?
Who's on that card?
Who's on that card?
The number one guy I keep hearing about is Josh Kelly, Beeb.
Let me ask you this, Robert.
Okay.
Do you feel as though you got your money? Are you getting your money's worth? Are you getting your $224 worth of DAZN this year? Or has Mrs. Herrick been kind of screaming at you? Why do we even pay this, Robert? This could have went
no,
to our vacation fund or something.
No, you know what? I'm not thrilled with every single card that they've had, but they've also, you know, with cases like Virgil Ortiz, they've suffered some bad luck, you know. But
Give me a break, Robert.
But give me a break.
You actually think it's worth what you're paying for right now. You can honestly say, yeah,
Robert,
I feel good.
Are you caping for them right now because they gave you a discount? Be honest.
No, they're not giving me no discount.
Did they give you a discount, please?
No, I wish they would. Hey, look, for DAZN subscribers, in a couple of weeks, you've got Jake Paul and Nate Diaz. Are you going to pay for that?
Oh, he's definitely caping now, Eric. Look what he's doing now.
Look what he's doing now.
He's trying to sell us that fight.
And by the way, I don't see anything other than the July 15th fights on Showtime and DAZN. And the DAZN is just that chick fight at that's the headliner or whatever. I don't see anything with Josh Kelly or any kind of card in England. I'm not disputing it.
They keep advertising it, Eric, so I'm surprised it's
not
there.
I'll say it again. I'm not going to dispute it, but it's just not on the list.
Okay.
What Eric is trying to tell you is they don't do a good job of promoting their fights, Robert. That's why no one watches them.
They suck.
Okay.
So you think you got your money's worth out of DAZN for real?
No, I didn't say that, Eric. I said it has been disappointing.
This is why, Eric, we've done a show with this guy for about 3 years before he got terminated due to human resources
issues.
What's
the matter with you?
Right?
why do you always say that? He got fired due to human resource issues. What is the matter with you?
I'm not getting into the specifics.
Oh, my Lord.
But here's the thing. He spent years bashing DAZN, right?
Yes, he did.
And he didn't want to buy it for years.
Nope.
Now that he buys it all of a sudden, because he buys it and he bought it, they can do no wrong all of a sudden.
I didn't say that.
He's not
Joe.
Wrong.
All of a sudden, they can do no wrong.
I didn't say that, Joe. Don't put words in my mouth. I didn't say they couldn't do no wrong.
Are you not caping for them right now, Robert?
Sounds like you're caping for them. Gotta be honest.
I said they've suffered some bad luck this year, which they have.
Bad luck? It's bad promotion, bad cards.
Well,
that's what they suffered from.
Robert, take away the bad luck. Compare them to ESPN and compare them to Showtime. Are they not a distant third?
Yes, they are. Now that you can't argue.
There we
with.
Go. That's all you had to say. That's all you had to say.
So why are you caping for them?
I'm not. Look, you ask a question. I'm trying to give you as honest answer as I can, guys.
Well, I think you're using diversionary tactics, trying to point to the bad luck. You're being very misleading.
You're being very misleading.
This is another reason why
HR wasn't really fond of you, because when they pulled you in the office, you were misleading on your excuses.
You guys claim to be experts. What are the lawyers telling you?
We never claim to be experts. We're entertainers. That's where you get it wrong. We are entertainers.
I'm an expert entertainer. That's right.
Don't mischaracterize what we do over here.
All right,
okay.
Robert, we're going to get running here.
See you later.
Get him out of here.
Let's go to Baltimore, for which I am king.
Yeah, so.
410, you're live, Jerry. Jerry, wake up, man. Listen, wake up.
Going?
Yeah, he does sound tired. He's old.
Yeah, I'm a little tired.
Sound tired, Jerry. What's going on, man?
Jerry, before you even start your call, before I'm a man of my word, babe. I'm a man of my word. And let me tell you this.
Don't do it.
I owe him an apology. I owe Jerry an apology. Jerry, I am sorry. Last week on this very channel, I humiliated you in front of all these listeners. I belittled you. I made you small. I apologize for that. Jerry, I want you to know from the bottom of my heart, as the king of Baltimore, to have you get on your knees like that in front of everybody, I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't enjoy it. I didn't enjoy it, and I apologize. So, the floor is yours now. Thank you.
And what I would like to tell your listeners is to do a simple Google search, Anderson knocking out Tyson Fury, and what they're going to find is one video of Anderson himself saying, never happened. Internet rumor.
Well, of course he's going to say, what do you expect him to say? He wants to get paid by Tyson Fury. Of course he's going to say he didn't knock him out.
He's no longer Tyson
Fury's
sparring partner.
Just like, what's his face? Errol Spence. Just like Errol Spence didn't knock out, beat up Floyd Mayweather in sparring. You know, of course he's not going to cop to that.
Well, listen, it's right out the man's own mouth. He was asked directly. He nipped it right in the bud. He said it wasn't even a knockdown. Internet rumor. Guys like you will fall for stuff like that, you know, and so that's to be expected. But
sure.
Nonetheless, I want to talk a little bit about fathers being trainers. Now, Here's the thing. Teo Lopez has beat two top pound-for-pound type fighters with his dad as his trainer. Fathers don't always work out as lead trainers. No, they don't. Roy Jones' dad didn't work out for him. Floyd's dad was on and off, you know. But any trainer doesn't always work out. Fathers, a lot of times, get a bad rap. I remember Shane Mosley was the lightweight champ. He had six straight title defenses. Him and his dad won Fighter and Trainer of the Year, and everybody was all big and great about it. Then Shane moved up, started fighting the best fighters in the welterweight division, started taking a loss here and there. Right away, fire his dad. Said the same thing about Tio's dad. Tio's coming off of a huge win just a few weeks ago. But prior to that, everybody, fire his father. Yep. You know, fire him.
That was
Tito Trinidad. Tito Trinidad also, him and his dad won Fighter and Trainer of the Year. Trinidad started fighting, you know, he was fighting the best fighters around. He'd taken a loss here and there. Right away, people want to fire the father. I don't think that, and I don't know, just like Beeb doesn't really know, but I'm not going to sit here and say that, what's his name, was supposed to fight this weekend, Ortiz. I'm not going to say his dad doesn't care about him. His dad probably loves him to pieces.
Beeb.
That guy is a fighter. He's got a lot to say about what he does, and it's their dream to be fighters. Now, he has a condition. This is obvious. His fight's been canceled, and I feel bad for him, man, because I like Virgil. I think Virgil's a monster. Every time I've seen him fight, he just – I think he's got all knockouts. I mean, I was really looking forward to this fight. I think he was going to stop Stan Jonas. But something's not right with him.
Not in this condition, he wasn't. Not in this position.
Well, no,
wasn't.
And that's why they didn't go forward with the fight.
He didn't pass out in training camp. What would have happened if he entered the ring with this condition? Someone dropped the ball, in my opinion.
Well, I don't know, but I'm sure that they're monitoring him. I don't think that they care so little
really?
About him. Well, I don't know, just like you don't know, right? I can't say for certain, but apparently,
Is it fair to speculate?
Well, I'm going to speculate on the side,
though?
On the other side.
Let me jump in here real quick.
Jerry, hang on.
Do we know when he was diagnosed with this?
Yeah, a couple of years ago.
So he was actually diagnosed a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
And he's still fighting?
Yeah,
that's
he hasn't fought.
That's a problem.
He hasn't fought. He hasn't fought because of the condition. Now, if they would put him in there in one of these cancellations and ignored what the problems prior to the fight, then I think there would be a better assessment to say and throw that kind of shade on his dad. You know what I mean? Me, I'm going to speculate
you,
on the other
did
end.
You hear it? Did you hear what Eric just read about people
no.
with this condition, if they should –
I heard it.
Yeah.
I
heard it. Box with it, obviously. But everything that you go through in boxing, you know, it like – that's causes and conditions of this thing. They're all symptoms.
I heard that. Right, but –
there's
but
been rumors,
again,
though, Jerry – Jerry, there's been rumors, and a lot of people have said this. And again, you're right. We don't know for sure. But there's been rumors that his dad is pretty tough on him in camp. He's been pretty tough on him in his throughout his career. And the reason why I think father-son relationships
don't work and they're very questionable is growing up, most people that I've talked to, and a lot of this is anecdotal, I understand that, but fathers are generally very hard on their sons, very hard on their sons, as a rule. And when you bring that dynamic into a professional setting, I think it can sometimes be problematic. And history has shown us more often than not, it has been problematic.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
And again, that is opinion. That is opinion.
I would say there's tons
of examples. That is opinion, but I think it's a credible opinion.
Okay, that's fine. But I would say there's tons of examples where it's worked out great. Sean Porter's dad traded him. Shane Mosley, Felix Trinidad, Teal
Sean
Lopez.
Porter's, I'll tell you what, though. Sean Porter's dad, they were not that fight.
They ended on bad terms, man. Mosley got rid of his dad as a trainer.
That's right. Ryan Garcia ended on
Roy
bad
Jones
terms
got rid
with
of, Roy Jones got rid of his dad as a trainer.
His dad was bad. Yeah, they didn't get along.
Yeah, there's more examples going the other way.
There's quite a few. But, you know, you got Calzaghe.
I don't know if there's more going the other way. That's debatable. That's highly debatable. Lomachenko's dad is also his trainer, and there's more.
Yeah.
The bottom line is I don't blame the fathers typically unless I really see something there because Ryan Garcia just split with Joe Goosen. That's not his dad. Fighters change trainers all the time. When the fighters are having success and they're winning fights, then nobody has a problem. It's when a fighter loses, like when Tio lost to Kambosos. He fires his dad. He comes back and beats Josh Taylor, former undisputed champion, in a probably 9-3 type of fight. He almost dominated Josh Taylor. And with his dad, same guy, right in the corner. I think we were
very critical of Tio's dad prior to that fight, prior to his loss against Kambosos. I think we were all pretty critical of him at that point.
Well, that's my point. I'm not going
to
say
we were critical
say
prior
I know, but,
to that.
Well, let me ask you this, Jerry.
Prior to that, right.
Let me ask you this, Jerry. In your opinion, again, I respect your opinion. I mean, if you believe something, you believe it. That's fine. In your opinion, father-son relationships in boxing, are they more? Do they succeed more, or are they less successful?
I'll probably, in my own opinion, have seen them succeed more than fail.
Okay. All right, fair enough.
Yeah. All right, Jerry.
Hold on a second. You gave those other guys all that time.
I'm sorry. I didn't know this was the Jerry show. I'm sorry.
Well,
I had no idea.
Give me equal. Just give
I
me
had
equal
no
time.
Idea.
I
we could
on
just
the
go.
Longest.
We're not on equal. What do you mean we're on equal time? Beebe, you want to step in here?
Philly Drew calls in once every 2 months. You call in every week. There's been times when you've been on here for a half hour. We didn't stop you.
All right, go ahead. Go ahead. Jerry, make your point.
Go ahead.
Showtime. I got no problem with Showtime. I wish people would quit trying to bury PBC and Showtime. They've been putting on the most cards. They've been putting on the best fights. They may have some issues over there. Their fighters aren't very active at the PBC. I don't like that. But I got no problem with them. If they go, we're in deep shit because the Zone, they suck. And I'm canceling their subscription. I'm done with the Zone. They're not doing anything to cater to the American audience. And I miss HBO because the biggest and best fights that ever happened in the history of boxing and the best production, biggest budget was with HBO. When they left the game, the sport's been hurting since they got out of the business, in my take.
Okay.
I don't know. All right, Jerry, I'm going to get rolling, man. Thank you so much. And remember, I am the king of Baltimore. There we go. 917, I believe this is Maestro.
Maestro, it's Maestro.
917, you're live. And again, maybe you're not. 917,
hello?
You're live. Yes.
Hi, is it me, 917? Can you hear me?
Yes, this is you. Yes, you are 917.
Okay,
I am
great.
Talking
sorry
to you. I can
that.
Hear you clear.
Yeah, that wasn't clear because
that's
you were
okay. Who am I talking
Maestro?
To?
Maestro. It's KM Star.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Who am I talking to?
Ken,
what
KM
is it?
Star. Can you hear me?
Yes.
KM Star, can you hear me?
Yes.
Go ahead,
hey, sorry about that. I know that disrupts the show. man, the conversation went in all kinds of directions. I love the last bit about production value in HBO, Showtime, and DAZN. I dropped my DAZN subscription a long time ago. I mean, like a year ago. It, they just don't give me the fights I want well enough to watch it, to be honest with you. I don't know how they're making any money over there. Showtime is – what I remember watching the fights last night, what amazed me is, like, they're really the last real, like, investor besides ESPN in boxing programmatically. I don't know if it makes money for them. But I want to – like, you saw all the people who work on a broadcast. They're, like, 10 heads showing on the screen that all support, like, each fight, right? Between the analysts, the translation to SAP, et cetera, et cetera. That's a lot of money, I'm guessing. But I agree, HBO did it best. I know not everyone loved Lampley and all these folks, but in terms of just production quality, I always felt like they really were top level. The Boots Ennis fight last night was really, really good. And good luck with him getting a fight with the winner of Spence Crawford. I don't think that fight will ever happen, let's be honest. A, if Crawford's too small for Spence, then, like, how is he going to keep up with Boots? And I'm not saying that he's too small for Spence, but that's, like, the going, you know, argument of what people keep saying if they pick Spence. I think it's a competitive fight. I like Crawford in that one. But from what we saw from Boots Ennis, I don't even know if like, Spence can take him. He just looks unbeatable. Like, the chin, the speed, the power. Like, he just feels like the most complete fighter at that weight class that we've seen in a very long time. I know level, you know, things are different as you climb the ladder in terms of level. But, yeah, I mean, like, why would Crawford or Spence take that fight? Spence is probably going to move up, right? Or there'll be rematches and all this sort of thing. So I don't think we'll ever see it ever happen. I'm curious what will be next for him, actually. I know they mentioned a few names last night. But it was actually a really, really good fight. I just wish it didn't go to 12:30 in the morning. But other than that, that's the only thing boxing needs to fix, in my view, is timing. You know, it's hard. If you're a young man, you want to watch a fight and then go out or watch it while you're out. And if you're an older man, you know, that's hard to stay awake for. You know, I don't know. I feel like I know prime time is not really like football's time slot. Might not be boxing's time slot, but having to wait till, you know, midnight for your main event, that just makes it hard for fans, in my opinion. And that might be the one way in which boxing defeats itself. And I know with all the other active sports out there, where you insert boxing is always a question, but I just feel like it should be 6 p.m., 7 p.m. You know, that should be the timing for these events, especially with multiple cards.
Yeah.
Anyway, I know I've been rambling on. I just wanted to move quickly because of the way I started. So thanks, guys. Love your broadcast as always.
Thank you so much, man. We appreciate that. Thank you very much. Love it. Let's see. Bang Mateo, thank you so much, my friend. He said, is it certain that rhabdomyolysis was the reason for Virgil fainted, or was it due to attempting making weight? Let's get the facts right, guys. Well, the fact is we really don't, at least I don't know. We know he has this condition. We know that cutting weight, according to everything I'm looking at, we know cutting weight can exacerbate that. We know that the training can exacerbate that condition. So what was it? I think it could have been a combination of everything. And he didn't wait till fight night. This was actually 2 days out when they actually took him out of there. But, yeah. So that was the deal. But thank you so much. We appreciate it. Let's go to the news here real quick. Not much going on. Antoine Kid Dynamite Ecclesby passed away at 51. 51, man, and you said it was complications. I didn't see it, but you said you saw it. You read it, complications from diabetes. It was in that ESPN article he sent me. Complications from diabetes, man. 51. That's insane.
It's a shame, bro.
That stuff is – it's like one of those things that a lot of people get, but, like, you really – and everybody kind of thinks it's second name, but it's like you really have to be, like, on the ball with that stuff. That stuff will hurt you, man.
I think, once again, speculating, but diabetes is very treatable if you catch it early and, you know, you do what you're supposed to do. And 51 years old is rough. We, I know a lot of, there's been people in my family that have, you know, have diabetes.
Yeah.
And, they've taken care of it, stayed on top of it. So
yeah,
it's a shame to see someone pass away like that from 51 years old.
Especially from that. You know, that seems so preventable, you know,
yeah.
But I don't know. A couple of fights have been made. Alexander Usyk, Daniel Dubois set for August 26th in Poland. So there you go. And then that, which will be a huge fight for Usyk. Dillian White and Anthony Joshua has been set for August 12th in London, Beebe.
I don't hate the fight. I don't hate the fight. Obviously, it's not the Wilder fight, but we'll see what happens. Do you think White has a shot here, or do you think no?
No.
I think,
White's washed. I think White's washed. I think Chisora's washed. Why we're watching this fight, you know, I have no idea. I really don't know.
Another, I guess this is going to be the highlight this year for DAZN.
This is the highlight. Yeah, this is the highlight. What's out there?
And people are talking about, you know, Fury not fighting Usyk in December. I do think Wilder and Joshua will probably get it on, don't lose in the interim. But if you're doing fights in August and you're doing fights in December, do you actually think that they could be, excuse me, you're doing fights in August. Do you think in September, do you think these guys are going to be ready for December? I'm hearing that fight could possibly get pushed back to January of the following year. So
who, Usyk and who are you talking
about? No, Wilder and Joshua. I think they're saying now if that's going to happen, it's probably going to get pushed back to January. Because if you think about it, if you're going to be fighting August 12th, you got September, October, November, December, you're going to be ready in 4 months? I don't know, man.
Yeah,
I don't know.
King KO says Wilder needs a hurt to make a fair offer with Ruiz. Ruiz wants a 50-50 offer. I think that's a 60-40 fight, though.
Yeah.
And obviously 80-20, you know, whatever he wants to offer, 90-10 or whatever ridiculous.
70-30, offer. I think he was saying 70-30.
That's a ridiculous offer, too.
Yeah, so.
You know.
They got to find somewhere, you know, in the middle.
Right.
And then if we're hearing Fury's talking about fighting Ngannou, which is a fight that I have zero interest in, it's like, come on. You know,
Ngannou is not even a boxer. Yeah, he's not.
I think these crossover fights, the novelty has worn off on them, and you know, it's just time to, you know.
Well, we'll see. We'll see when Jake Paul, Nate Diaz, you know, or Logan, but was it Jake Paul? Yeah, Jake Paul and
Jake Paul.
That's a big fight. I mean, like it or not, that's a big fight. I mean, it's a big crossover fight. Both of them guys have got tons of fans. Anything the Pauls do, aside from the fact that they're Ohio and they know how to market and they're geniuses, aside from that whole thing, I mean, they get people, you know, you can say what you want, but they get people excited. You know, they get people out there.
They do.
Yeah. Juan says, Wilder might not fight anybody until AJ. I don't even know that fight is safe. You know what I mean? I don't know that that's a safe waiting spot for Wilder. Either you're going to fight or you're not going to fight. Ruiz is the natural guy. I think Wilder washes him, but I don't know. No, let's see what happens. All right, here we go. Let's see here. That is going to be it. Beebe, we have one more caller, and I'm debating on whether or not to bring him on the line. I think we probably should. He likes you. He's from Texas. He's the prank caller that we get every show.
Oh, no. He's the prank caller?
This is the prank caller, yes. Why don't you, like, because he really expressed interest in you last time. He expressed, you know, I think he likes you, Beebe.
I'm a little bit afraid to talk to this guy right now because he's so obscene.
Well, stop it.
It's really bad
for
my image.
His love for you. 806, you're live.
Yeah, how's everybody doing? I just wanted to let everybody know I've given up on Big Black Cox. I can't take the pain anymore.
No.
My mouth is too small.
So,
and right now I got my eyes on Beebe, you should open my OnlyFans.
I'll be your first subscriber. Beebe's great. Yeah, Beebe should open. Beebe, show your face on camera. Come on, get in the camera.
Can't do it, man.
Yes.
I can't
come
do
on.
It.
Stop it, Beebe. You have it, Myra's here.
I'm tipping.
Beebe, I think he's
I'm
right.
A tip for Beebe.
Gentleman said you should open OnlyFans. That's right. I think so. You're a handsome devil. Look at you. All right.
Get him out of there, please.
He's gone. He said he's focusing on Beebe now.
Why do you do this to me?
I don't. Sorry. I was trying to get you help. I was trying to help you out here, looking out for a brother, you know, as I do. It is. There it goes. That'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at JHabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at Ringside73. And, guys, we will see you next week.